Uncovering the truth is unsettling and may leave you questioning yourself or even an institution. An institution so big that anyone who goes against it could unfortunately be digging their own grave. My name is David Holt, and this is Led by Inequities. On today's episode, I'll be interviewing community activist and the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement here in College Station, Trey Watson. His voice has not only been heard around the community, but also on Texas A&M's campus. So Trey, how have you seen the climate in the Bryan College Station area be altered due to Texas A&M being a PWI?
Well, I think it's been altered because, you know, it being a PWI means it's a predominantly white institute. So, you know, having a lot of those students which live in Bryan College Station as well as work in Bryan College Station, having them here kind of makes it a more white space in total of the actual people that are here who aren't here, you know, just for school or for work purposes. So having that be here, I think it makes it more of a white space, and it's hard for minorities to find safe spaces within the community because A&M sends a heavy influx of white people in our areas. So I think that's probably the main way it's been altered.
So with your experience with the Black Lives Matter movement here in College Station, how have you felt the inequalities on campus during protests or in the Bryan College Station area?
Well, as far as our protests that we had in Bryan about 2 years ago, a lot of people came out from the community. A few people came out from A&M. I participated in the Sully protest as well, I think, a little bit after that, maybe about a year ago. And we had some counter protesters there, which was my first time ever experiencing that. And I had the Red Association put me on their little thing where I was talked about, had my picture shown and everything. And so that was kind of different, but I actually enjoyed that too because, you know, I got to have conversations with people who aren't like-minded. And some of those people actually had some legit points and they were actually listening to me and I was able to listen to them as well. So I believe both of them were, I guess, I took positive things from them that helped me learn about having protests in the future, regardless if you have counter-protesters or non-counter-protesters. So I think it worked out pretty well.
So currently, what would you recommend to a student or a community member and how they can get involved in making the Bryan College Station area a little bit more inclusive to people of color?
I would definitely say have conversations with people who don't look like you. I think that's very big. I'm big on conversation and education. And so not only having conversations, but actually educating yourself about different people's demographics and, you know, cultures and whatnot. So when you are having those conversations, you don't just come from your own perspective and you actually look through other people's perspectives to try to figure out better ways to understand them. So I think conversations help a lot, you know, going to certain places that you wouldn't typically go with your family that you were raised with or your church members or your friends, you know. Just go in there, listen to those people, have conversations with them, and just try to learn as much as you can. So not only they'll feel more safe with people who look like you, but you also feel more safe with people who look like them.
How have you seen ag shacks and gentrification processes altering neighborhoods in College Station and in Bryan?
Well, me growing up here in like the 90s and early 2000s, I was able to know about three predominantly black neighborhoods here. We had McCulloch area. We also had College Hills area, which is near Golden Corral. McCulloch area is near the Lincoln Center off of Holloman. And we also had the Washington Chapel area, which is over there by HEB off of Texas. So knowing all three of those neighborhoods were here, you know, I had friends and family in each neighborhood. Within the past, I would say 10 to 15 years, two of those neighborhoods, Washington Chapel and College Hill, have both been, you know, diminished by ag shacks and gentrification. So you go to those neighborhoods now, you don't see many people of color. And I feel like that's been a big problem in the city. And not just speaking about specifically black areas, you have other areas where there are been typically family areas that you now have a college neighbor with an ag shack next to, and you know, you're trying to go to bed and whatnot, trying to keep your kids in bed, and like 2 or 3 in the morning you have college students blowing on the horn, making loud noises as they're leaving. And even before that, some of them were like being really rowdy. I was once upon a time, I was one of those kids. So I understand their perspective. They want to have fun, you know, enjoy their college experience. But on the flip side, when you're thinking about being a family person, you're trying to keep your kid in bed, you have work in the morning, your child has school in the morning. So I feel like it creates a huge conflict that, you know, I don't really think A&M even cares to pay attention to. So I think that's been a big problem in the community.
How do you feel about A&M speaking about diversity on a larger scale at events and conferences and them not applying what they're saying to the Bryan College Station area?
Yeah, I feel horrible about it because it's like you look every year, it's like, oh, we're trying to get these people here. We're trying to get these people here. And, you know, they speak about it, but they don't actually do it. And I really don't like when anybody does that, you know. Actions show a lot more than what your words show, you know. So if you're going to say you want to help black people enroll better in the A&M, your actions should show that you want it. It should not be just something some interim president is saying, or, you know, some interim department chair is saying they want more people here when they're not having the actual actions to go there. Because, like, people love to say six goes both ways, and they're not only referring to Texas, they're referring to Prairie View as well. And it's like, how do you want to challenge Prairie View for those intellectual students? Because anyone who pays attention to Prairie View knows Prairie View motto is Prairie View produces productive people. So there's a ton of productive people, students that who are at Prairie View, and I'm pretty sure would have loved to go to A&M, but, you know, you come visit A&M, you talk to people of color who are here, and, you know, you just pay attention to not only A&M, but the surrounding towns. Like, somewhere, you know, a lot of people, parents might not feel safe for their children being. So I think, like I said, like, just don't say it. Actually find some plan, you can put some action behind it.
How would you like to see Texas A&M improve the quality of life for people of color in our area?
Well, from my understanding, when A&M first came to College Station, or Brazos County, there were a land grant school. So, you know, land grant schools are supposed to supply needs for the community, not only its campus. So, you know, whenever A&M originated, they did have black workers, of course, like they still do have black low-level workers. So around that time, they had houses around A&M where the low-level workers could easily travel from their houses to A&M. As A&M grew bigger, they pushed out black people to further areas, which I know three of them were Washington Chapel, McCulloch area, and College Hills. You know, A&M's getting bigger again, and they're pushing out more black people to go further out. And those same black people are still working for A&M. So, you know, I feel like it's a lot they can do as far as housing, making sure that, you know, minorities aren't getting, overpriced, but, you know, outbought by people who are coming in from bigger cities and whatnot, just because our property is cheaper here. Like, A&M could influence a lot of developers to build more houses which are affordable, and not just for African Americans or Hispanics, but for families who are low income, to keep what they actually said they were going to do those 100 or so years ago.
Trey's passion for service and justice does not go unnoticed. The effort he has put into his work has resonated with many, including Aggies. With Trey's words, I hope that we can all learn more about the city that Texas A&M calls home and how we too can become activists. The purpose of this podcast has not been to belittle Texas A&M, as it does serve thousands of people. I wanted to expose the truth behind being a person of color and the inequalities that many face daily here on campus and even in our community. I hope that in the near future, Texas A&M will understand these inequalities and begin to start a revolution. A revolution that breaks barriers. Thank you for tuning in on Led by Inequities. Until next time.